Welcome to Tailored Topics, where life's complexities are tailored into conversations that empower you. Welcome back to Tailored Topics. I am so excited for this week's episode because we are going to be talking about all things intuition. I believe that everybody's intuitive. I believe that everybody's had some sort of hunch or some sort of gut feeling in their life without any sort of explanation. They've had an instinctive feeling that they can't understand or don't have conscious reasoning for it. And this can expand to so many different things. You might feel danger where there's no logistical reasoning for it. You might feel that someone's talking about you and you have no evidence to support that. A lot of that's going to be your intuition. And while you feel it and you can't see it to believe it, you kind of have to believe it without seeing it in this case, because a lot of the times intuition's going to happen for you and it's going to be when you least expect it and you have absolute no rationale for it. And my intuition runs a little bit deeper than what you might be expecting. So for those that know me on a personal level, they know that I'm a psychic medium. For those that don't, hello. One of the many things that I've done in my life is read people. And it extends back into my childhood, which I'll definitely get into. But I believe that intuition is something that we can all train. I think it's something that is just an extra muscle, an extra skill. I don't think that it's limited to one person. I don't think that one person has a gift and the other person can't. I know that might seem contradictory to a lot of the things that are out there in this world. I think that a lot of the times Hollywood and the media and everything else make intuition into this godly thing or like this Hollywood thing that seems to be unrealistic or something that we can't tap into. But I think from my personal experience and from the experience of others, it's very much something that we all have ingrained in us. And I definitely want to explain that further. But first, I think it's really important to explain what I can read, how I can read, what my intuitive story is, because intuition is a large thing to grasp. There's a lot of different moving parts with it. And truthfully, I don't know if we can get through all of it in one episode. There might have to be multiple. And if you guys want multiple, I can definitely do that in the future. But I think right now is, you know, lesson one in intuition, and we can get into others later on. But I'll start with how I developed this. So my mom is a psychic. My other two sisters, I have two younger sisters, they're very intuitive. My dad is not, or at least he does not tap into that skill. But my mom has been intuitive her whole life, and it took her going into adulthood for her to really understand what it is she was seeing or how she was reading, and it took someone in her adult life to kind of be a mentor for her, to bring her into that. And this journey started when I was about 8 years old. And so when my mom was learning everything that there was to know about, you know, intuitiveness, seeing ghosts and all that fun stuff, I was around 8 years old. So I was becoming more aware and I kind of knew what she was doing. And instead of her blocking it out from me, she very much welcomed it. And she explained to me, you know, what was going on. So as I got older, you know, I embraced it. She allowed me to embrace it. And I read a lot like her. And my two sisters read very differently. And there's different ways you can tap into your intuition. There's different strengths with that, which I can also get into. But the way that I read is I see images in my head, kind of like a movie theater. I see a lot of symbols. I see a lot of moving things. So when I read people, I don't look at them. I look away because I'm not actually looking at what's in front of me, I'm looking at what's in my head, if that makes sense. Kind of like a daydream, I guess you could say. And what I can read is I could see past. I could see past lives, if you believe in that. If you don't, that's fine. Present, and I can see future up to a year. And the reason why I can't see up to, you know, 30 years or 20 years or when someone might pass away is because I believe in free will. I think free will is a thing. I think you're on this earth and you're making choices and you're making life decisions. And a lot of how I read and what I can see is you on your current path. I can't dictate what's going to happen in 20 years because you have so many decisions between what you're going to do now and next week. How the heck am I supposed to see what's going to go on in 20 years? Now, if you stay on your current path from now up until 20 years, okay, I can see that. But the likelihood of that happening is very minimal. But I can also see ghosts. I can also see those who have crossed over. Those are two very different things. Ghosts for me are people that feel stuck or they've stayed. Those that have crossed over are those that I believe have gone into the light. And I know that's going to mean different things for different people, and that's fine. I can read auras, I can see energies, and I can scan people and see different health. So if you're in pain somewhere, I can most likely see exactly where. As an example to that, because I know that's a lot, a couple years ago my mom had cancer, and before she was actually properly diagnosed, I could see that she had it, and I knew where. And you're probably wondering, how the heck are you able to read all of those things? And then some of you are probably thinking, no, she's nuts. She can't actually see any of those things. Totally fine. But the short answer is, how do I see those things? It took practice. Like anything else in life, it takes practice. I was not able to hone in my skills the way that I can now a couple years ago. I couldn't. What I was seeing and how I was seeing it, I really much had to develop. I had to understand why, and I needed to practice. So the very first lesson out of all of this is you have to learn how to ground yourself. Now, I had an old roommate at one point, and she basically was just like, Taylor, every time you say you have to like ground yourself, it's literally like you sound like a broken record. And you know what? I did. And it's because if you don't ground yourself, you have nothing. Like, that is the foundation, the absolute foundation in all of this is grounding yourself. So what I mean by that is if you're not grounded, and if you're just kind of, if your mind's just kind of like floating in the wind, there's a lot of outside sources that can come in. And what I mean by that is you have to protect yourself. There's a lot of negative energies out in this world. You have to protect yourself. Another thing is too, your anxiety or other emotions that you have, whether it's anger, sadness, happiness, wishful thinking, all of those things can play a factor into deteriorating your intuition, because your thoughts and actual intuitive thoughts are very different. Your own thoughts are very much going to be biased to the situation, and your intuitive thoughts are going to be unbiased and true, I guess factual evidence isn't the right word, but I guess true understanding of a situation without your own opinions coming through. So the way that you ground yourself, and there's multiple different ways to do it, I like to picture like roots coming out of my feet and pulling me down into the center of the earth. I like to close my eyes and do that. And that makes me feel very rooted and grounded, and it helps me separate my biased opinions and feelings towards a situation and allows my unbiased thoughts come in, aka my intuition. To protect myself and also ground myself, what I like to do is I like to picture a purple cloak, kind of like Harry Potter, coming over top of my head, draping over my hands, going down to floor's length, dragging on the ground. And that, in a way, not only grounds me, but I feel like it's like a protection mechanism that I like to do before I read people, because it takes anything and negative or unwanted and it blocks it out. Now, you could do a Google and find a bunch of different ways to ground and protect. That is those are the personal ways that help me. I know other people will picture guardians standing in front of them. Other people will have shields. Other people will picture themselves in their safe space, aka a safe room in their head, kind of like a box, and that will help ground themselves. Different things work for different people. For me, it's the cloak mechanism, and it's picturing roots coming out of the bottom of my feet. I use that all the time. That is like my go-to. There are also more general ways that you can ground yourself too, because sometimes we feel ungrounded just in daily life. Our minds can feel a little spacey, we could feel a little out of it, and those are very much symptoms of feeling ungrounded. And so sometimes what we need to do is we need to go back with nature. We need to walk in the grass, or we could eat root vegetables, such as carrots or potatoes, anything that has those like grounding elements to them. Being with nature is a huge, huge grounding factor. I love water. So anytime in New York City when I was out and about and I felt like I needed to be grounded, I would go and walk out by the piers, and I instantly felt so much better. it's things like that that you could practice in your daily life to help you just feel more present. Because a lot of times when we don't, that's that spacey feeling that we get that is a symptom of being ungrounded. Once you've mastered grounding, then you're just set up for success. You have that clear foundation. You know what you're going into is going to be in a safe space because you've set that up for yourself. Now, your intuition can manifest in different ways. Like I said before, I can see things like images in my head, kind of like a movie theater. My intuition is going to be very different than what my sisters can see or what someone else can see or hear or feel. For example, my sister Ashley, she's clairaudient. What that means is she hears a lot of things, like she hears words. And that can be very scary for a lot of people. It's even scary for her. She shuts it down at times, but that's a very real thing you can hear. I definitely see things differently than maybe what my mom sees. When I say I see things like symbols, symbols are going to mean different things for different people. For example, I see futuristic elements in black and white. It's my symbol to know that when I'm reading a person, a black and white element will tell me, hey, they haven't experienced it yet. They haven't seen this person yet. Let them know. For example, someone could be asking about their love life or if they've met their person yet. I can see that. And if they're black and white, they haven't met that person yet. That can mean a different thing for my mom. She might see black and white and it can mean something completely different. For her, it could be meaning like an ending or something. So when you're seeing these things, you kind of have to lean into maybe why. And that takes time and that takes development. A lot of times when I'm reading people, I'll even ask them, I'll be like, hey, you know, I'm seeing this watch. What does that mean to you? Because a lot of times, for some odd reason, I will see watches, specifically on men, not women. Why? I have no idea. And it took a bit for me to realize that watches meant male energy for me versus female energy. And so when I would be asking the person, they could be like, oh yeah, my grandfather had a specific watch or something of that nature. So it helped me to kind of back pocket that, you know, watches meant, okay, could be a male person, but also could be a descriptive factor for, you know, what they wore or whatever. Some people can taste, some people can smell, some people can, you know, maybe not see something, but it just pops into their head. So they might see words in their head instead of images. That's a very real thing too. It's going to manifest differently for different people based on strengths and what they're open to. I'm not really open to being clairaudient. Personally, I feel like people talking to me like that, that's weird. Why my sister is open to it like that, I have no idea. Maybe images just aren't her strength. Maybe she's more of an audient kind of learner. I don't know. But that's something that I think it's very important to know, because if you're not open to knowing that all of that can happen, you might be closing off to things and you're not even realizing it. The next step is to practice. And there are a lot of different ways, but I have three that I think were most beneficial to me. The one is I would test a hunch. So anytime that I would have a sort of intuitive feeling or what I thought was intuitive, I would write it down or kind of stick it in my back pocket. I wouldn't ignore it. I'd allow it to kind of free flow and happen. And this doesn't have to be some sophisticated or wild concept or thing. It could be as simple as like thinking that it's going to snow next week. That's fine. Start small. Start thinking of these things. Another thing is to get creative. Allow your mind to wander. You can draw. You can scrapbook. You can journal. Allow your mind to just kind of have a free-for-all. And a lot of your own intuitive thoughts are going to start to come in because you're allowing it to be safe. You're not controlling what's coming in. Or you can consult tarot cards. So tarot is a tool. Crystals are a tool. They do not make you psychic. They are a tool for a psychic. They are a tool for an intuitive person. They simply validate you. And that's how, I mean, at least that's how I use them. I used to do this thing where if someone was kind of skeptical of me, I'd pull three cards out of a tarot deck, keep them flipped over, read the entire person, and then flip over the tarot cards. And a lot of the times they would say what I was reading. And that was just to show that they are a tool. They're supposed to elevate what you're already seeing and feeling. And if you have a lot of symbolism in how you read or how you feel things, it can help you kind of develop what those symbols are. Like if you're seeing different love symbols, but you're not really sure that they are love symbols, you could start to read or feel what's coming out of your own intuition, pull three cards, and if, you know, the love card comes up or whatever you think is the love card and it kind of resonates, then you could be like, okay, my symbols go towards those things. Meditation and dreaming also helped me a ton, and they still help me to this day. Meditation, I think, forces you to be in a quiet space, so you are in silence, so you can hear and see all the messages that you need to, that you can interpret later. Versus dreaming, your mind and your subconscious are working, and so all of these things in your subconscious are kind of coming to the forefront that you can write down later. So I used to have a dream journal. I have kind of fallen out of that routine, and I should really get back into it now that I think about it, because it was so helpful. I would dream all the weirdest things, and I still do, and a lot of the times I won't understand them, and because it's part of the dictionary slash my symbols that I have yet to discover. So I would write down those dreams, and then a few months later, it would click for me. Something would happen where I'd be like, okay, that's what that meant. That's what I was seeing. That's what was coming up. And it was so helpful. Now that you know all these tips and factors and things that I've used to hone in on my skills, you can start to take them and implement them in your own ways in order to open up your intuition and start to really utilize it. Because I think of it as a sixth sense. I think of it as something that you really do have, and I don't think a certain person is left out of it. I think it's also a choice. If you don't believe in any of this stuff, you don't have to use it. If you think I'm crazy, that's fine. You don't have to trust me or believe in me in that stuff. But this is something that I've used, you know, all my life, and I've really developed it. And it's something that I think is a huge part of me that I will continue to use as I get older. And I also think too, you know, going back on like the Hollywood and media aspects of something, you know, when you start doing this stuff or practicing these things, you know, don't think that you're going to see like death or destruction or like all these massive things. Like that's not really the case here. That's not really the scenario. I think, again, speaking on like media and Hollywood, I think a lot of times it's been brought up as like this like godly, you know, mystical, magical thing. And it's really not. You know, you see like old movies and you see people seeing things in crystal balls, like that's a myth. Actually, when you look at things in a crystal ball, it just, the crystal itself helps, again, it's a tool, elevate what you're feeling, seeing, whatever. You can't actually see images on a crystal ball. That's a little ridiculous. But yeah, this is something that, you know, again, is a skill, is a part of you. And I really think with practice and taking things bit by bit as you want to, you can really develop it in the way that you need. And it's something that can help carry you through your life. One of the main reasons that I use my intuition too is not just for personal use, but because I genuinely want to help people, and I find that my intuition is one of the key ways that I'm able to do that. I didn't really start publicly reading people until my freshman year of college. My freshman year of college was the first time I ever read somebody where they didn't know, like, my mom was a psychic. They knew that I was also intuitive, because I think high school and prior to that, I just wasn't ready. I needed to develop and understand what I was really doing at first. And I think college was the time that I was really, really felt that I could read and read effectively. I wasn't just throwing darts at a board and hoping they'd stick. So it wasn't until 2020, actually, where I started taking this and making it like a side business, a side hustle. And I've never been someone to really market on social media or to mass market. I think if you scroll back on my Instagram, you'll see like one or two posts. But I really like doing everything by word of mouth. And I think the main reason why is because my intuition is not something that I use, I guess you could say, as a main source of income or as a main business. I've never really wanted it to act like that. Not saying that it can't in the long run, but I think in the future that could be something. But right now, that's not something I'm ready for. I'm focusing on other things. And so I like that I can help people on the side as I please. And with, I think, word of mouth, I think the universe is bringing the right people to me at the right time and when they need it, so I'm not actively searching. And speaking of the universe, when you're using your intuition, that coincides with the way that the universe or spirit or whatever you believe in speaks to you. So I always write letters to the universe or spirit. That's just, you know, what I believe in personally. And it's kind of funny because when you're using your intuition, you and you're speaking things, whether it's like problems that you have in your life or things that you're wishing for, things that you're trying to manifest, the universe and spirit will speak back to you. You have to be open to it, though. But I have some weird, fun little stories of examples of things that have happened to me that I think you'll appreciate or find funny yourself. And one of those things is my money stuff. So I do this thing with the universe all the time where I find money on the ground. But it's like I'm playing a game with them, although it's not a game, but it feels like a game. So anytime that I have, you know, had some fear in me or I'm speaking to the universe and it has anything to do with money or it has anything to do with life transitions, I find a $20 bill on the ground. And it's always when I'm speaking to the universe. And the very first time, or I think the first time that like I actually remember, was when I was in college and it was snowing. It was heavily snowing on the ground. And after it was done snowing, my roommate at the time, we went to this place on the Lower East Side called Thursday Kitchen, and we went out for drinks. And I was in a transition in my life, and I was talking to spirit over and over again. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, internships, jobs, apartments, that costs money. And I was a little afraid at the time. I'm like, okay, can I pull this off? Can I do this? And we're walking and we're talking and stuff. My mind's a little sidetracked. Next thing I know, we're waiting to go into this restaurant. And I look down and buried in the snow is a $20 bill. So I take that and pocket it. And I remembered it. And at the time, I don't know if I really realized it was spirit talking to me or the universe talking to me or speaking back, I guess you could say. But I definitely noted it. And there were several other times where the same thing happened to me where it couldn't have just been a coincidence. So another time was during my first ever apartment in Hell's Kitchen, New York City. God, that was a whirlwind of a time. And there was a couple other times where I've been stressed out and I had this really bad internship at the time. And I was making money. I was supporting myself. My family wasn't really helping me. And I just was nervous because I was doing this all on my own. And I'm thinking, can I really pull this off? Again, the same question. Can I really do this? I'm tired. I don't know. A little fearful here. Speaking to the universe. So walking down Hell's Kitchen, it's funny. After a Friday night in Hell's Kitchen, at least pre-pandemic times, you'd find money on the ground. It could be dollar, like $1, $5, whatever. And it's funny, I was walking down 9th Avenue and I was having the same conversation to myself and lo and behold, $20 bill. A couple weeks later, you know, talking to the universe again, really wasn't quite sold on it. I was walking dogs at the time. There's like this thing called WAG. It's like Uber for dogs in like major cities. I did that for money on the side. And I had just quit my internship, which was very toxic, and I'm thinking, okay, can I do this? Can I make money, you know, pay my rent, do all these things, talking to the universe while walking a pit bull on the Upper East Side? Lo and behold, $20 bill on the ground. And this continued through multiple different transitions in my life. I was speaking with one of my friends. We went to New Orleans together. I think this was back in 2022. We were in New Orleans together and I was talking to him about this and I was saying like, hey, you know, I do this with the universe where I speak and they speak back, or spirit or whatever. I speak and they speak back. Like they will talk to you. Your intuition has to be on alert, but they will talk to you. And he never, you know, argued with me on it. No, he agreed. And we were getting in the elevator together and I looked down and there's, I think it was like a couple $1 bills. I scoop it up and I told him, I was like, no, no, no. I was like, they shorted me. I was like, they're going to give me a $20 bill. I was like, trust me on this. We go back out in the street. I think we're on one of the main streets in New Orleans. lo and behold, $20 bill. And just stuff like that. When I moved into my apartment where I lived by myself for the first time, same sort of situation. Got nervous, you know, big life moment for me living by myself in my 20s, you know, most of the time. Like any time prior to that, I had roommates. Went out and to do laundry, you know, the fear was starting to get in my head a little bit. Oh, shoot, can I do this? I just signed on for a year. You know, that fear factor. Go out to do my laundry, come back right outside of my apartment door. $20 bill. So I'm telling you, they speak. And another thing, this is actually a cool one. I, you know, like I said, I have dreams all the time, right? And anytime I'm doing a life transition, I grew up with this dog. She was Cocker Spaniel. Her name's Truffles. And, you know, we were babies together. She was a puppy when I was an infant. And she visits me all the time during life transitions. So I had homeschooled when I was in 7th and 8th grade, and I was transitioning into high school. And being the anxiety-induced kid that I was, I also was bullied a little bit, so, like, I was a little afraid of that. I was going into public high school and stuff, and the summer before, I had a dream, and she just popped into my dream, and she was visiting me, and any major life transition after that, she visited me. First time I got my brand new apartment, right before I got into the Fashion Institute of Technology, where I went to college for my undergrad. When I moved to London, sure enough, 2 weeks later, had a dream of her popping in. Crazy how, you know, universe and spirit talks to you. My one of late, though, this was very interesting. I actually got mad at spirit and the universe. And that's a thing. I'm human, right? We can get mad at them. Sure. So I had this thing where I was just getting irritated at the universe because I felt like people were hearing me but not listening to me. And at one point, I was staying up late in bed, and I'm thinking, you know, I was getting mad at the universe and spirit and all that other stuff. I was like, hey, you know, you're not listening to me. I was like, are you even listening to me? I was like, I just don't think that you are. And I have this dream dog that I want in the future. I will get them. I want a mini golden doodle. For anyone that's saying that basic, sure, but it's basic for a reason. It's because they're freaking adorable. And I have a dream name for this dog. And before anyone says, oh, it's Major, it's Colonel, it's not, I changed it. It's now a secret name because I don't want anyone stealing that name. But I have this dream dog that I want. And I was talking to my mom on the phone. I was like, hey, like, and I was just kind of telling her, you know, I want this dog. I want this name. I don't know what possessed me for the name and everything. And lo and behold, a week later, I'm on the phone with my mom. And she goes, guess who I met? And I was like, who? And she goes, a mini golden doodle with blank's name. And she goes, what do you think that means? And at first I didn't know because it didn't dawn on me. And then a day later I was like, oh, spirit just whacked me upside the head, didn't they? Because they're listening, because I got mad at them and I'm like, you're not listening to me. The universe and spirit are always listening to you. Always listening to you. Sometimes, and I think the big lesson and takeaway from this is sometimes we're not being receptive to listening to them. And so they kind of have to do a little metaphorical slap for you to get it. And that's fine. Let them. Because if you need to learn that, let them. But intuition goes both ways. It's, you know, going out there, speaking, helping, but also being receptive at the same time and knowing that things can come to you in different ways. So those are three examples of some things that I've heard and seen and felt in the last couple of years. And there's definitely more. I could definitely do a part two on this. Thank you everyone for listening to my very second episode of Tailored Topics. I know that there was a lot here and a lot discussed. So if you have any additional questions for me, definitely let me know. I can do a part two. I can make this a mini series. I could talk about intuition all day long, to be honest. But I will see you next week for my next episode. Extremely excited for this topic as well. So stay tuned.